I count it a privilege to be able to share the word with you this morning. Lord said I could share this to start out with. I've had an unusual week. Monday started out with a doctor's appointment for my wife. For those of you that aren't familiar, she has the victory over cancer. Hallelujah. She has the victory over cancer. So we had a follow-up visit with her chemotherapy doctor. And it was a good report. He said that towards the end, he's one of the only doctors that she has that really gives us the straight line on everything, you know. You know how doctors are. They kind of tell you what they think you can handle, and that's about it. Now, this particular doctor isn't quite like that. He tells you the way it is. And I find that very refreshing. And I've told him that. But he categorized her situation like this. He said, and he kind of uses his hands. He likes to draw and that kind of thing. He said, here's the people that have had what you've had. They're in this group right here. And generally, they don't do very well. In other words, that means they die. Okay? They're in this group. And here you are way out in left field. Is that awesome? Part of this message this morning, I want to share with you a few things about how not to get caught off guard like we were. I thank God that we have the outcome that we have. You know what? When it first happened, when this first started 6 months ago, it took me right off my feet. It should never, ever have done that. Never. I thank God for His grace and His mercy. But what I want you to understand is, I felt like I had to play catch up. And it's not supposed to be that way. We are supposed to be so in tune, so close, listening to what the Holy Ghost is saying to us, so developed inside that when those attacks come, we're not playing catch up. Because those attacks aren't going to stop. The intensity of those things are going to continue to rise. And we cannot continue to play catch up. And all of a sudden, something happens and it drives us to our prayer closet and we should already be there. We should already be in that place. And this is an indictment against me. You know, I spend time in the Word. But what my walk when this first began, at that moment, I was wanting. There wasn't enough inside of me to run the devil off the instant that he showed up. I'm reminded of something that someone said to me after the service last week. They said, didn't Debbie do anything? Oh, yes. Compared to what Debbie did and is doing, I'm not doing anything. Compared to the stand that she's making, I feel like I'm just standing still. When God finally releases her and as she says, she can put two sentences together. When that happens, I venture to say that lives are going to be changed as they hear how she walked through this, how she has grabbed hold of the healing, of the victory. I venture to say that cancers are going to fall off in the floor. Cancers are going to leave people's bodies. Because when you have walked through it and you have the victory over it, I believe that that anointing is there for you to set other people free in that area. And that's what I truly believe. So I wanted to correct the record on that. Because I didn't want you to think that I felt like I did everything. Compared to her, I don't know what I've done. A few weeks ago, it may have been 1 or 2 weeks, I don't know, there was a word that was brought forth. How I'm going to share it this morning is, it's the crux of this message. Talking about the seasons that are changing. There's a season change happening. We're experiencing it here. How widespread is it? I don't know. I have to imagine that the season is changing greater than just our four walls. But there is a season change. I think Gary was the one that had mentioned it. And I have felt that season changing on the inside of me. One of the biggest changes that I'm experiencing is my renewed hunger for Jesus. Inside of me, one reason I had her continue to play that song, that's how I feel in my spirit. And it has nothing at all to do with what my wife and I have just come through. It has to do with the spiritual climate. It's as if God is placing within me, and I know it's not just me, this insatiable desire for more of Him. Can anybody else relate to that? Does anybody else feel that? I feel it. It's like, God, I cannot get enough of You. I cannot. It's this, you know, if you've seen someone that's walked across the desert and they're so parched and their lips are cracked, and it's like anything for just a drop of water. That's how I feel in my spirit. Lord, I just need more of You. Just more of You. And I believe that that's part of this new season. I believe that as you have walked through the spiritual development over the years, you know, Pastor Dave has so meticulously walked us down the born again trail, taught us the value of praying in tongues, taught us the value of fasting, and we've all, for the majority of us, have incorporated praying in tongues, fasting, spending time in worship with Him. To some degree or another, we've done that. And I believe that it has brought us to this place where He's saying, okay, enough of the mechanics. I want You. I'm no longer satisfied with the greatest part of You. I want You all of You. Not just a certain portion, the greatest portion that You think You can give. I'm not satisfied with that anymore. I want all of You. And I believe that's this new season. He wants us all. I'm going to read a few notes because it helps me to stay in line. Let me just say this. How God has had me minister in the past, it's not necessarily like this. Now, my wife and I, we spent some time, we lived in Ukraine. I taught at a Bible school. When I taught in a Bible school, it was line upon line. It was, you know, dissecting the scriptures. But you know, for the life of me, I sit down and I love to dissect the scriptures. I love to go through. For the life of me, he's not letting me do that. He is using me in a different way that I'm accustomed to. I don't really understand this. All I know is this is the way the gifting is manifesting through me, and all I can do is just obey and say what he has. I hope that's okay. Amen. Because that's how it seems like it's coming out right now. I don't know if it'll stay this way, but that's the way it is right now. A lot of what I'm going to say to you this morning, I'm going to relate through this past, the events that's happened just in this past week. And nothing about the doctor's visit or anything like that. About my time that I spent with Jesus. About what Jesus said to me. And then about how he confirmed what he said to me. You know, it's always good to hear him speaking to you, but what's better is whenever he says, okay, remember when I said this to you? Okay, here's the confirmation of it. And then all of a sudden in front of you is a word from somebody else, and it's almost exactly the same word that you heard in your spirit that very morning. When he does that, you know what? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Okay? I mean, it's pretty clear. This is God. Hello? He didn't need a red hat. You can tell it's God. So let me read my notes here. Dissatisfaction with where we are spiritually, even to the point of being disgusted with where we are spiritually. Almost to that place of disgust. I can't stay here like I am. I can't stay here anymore. Something inside of me is going to change. I am going to do whatever I have to do in your presence, God, so that this hunger can get satisfied. He's just pulling us. If you're feeling this way, it's probably an indication that you are in the group that was identified in a word of prophecy last year, the fast going faster. Do you remember that word? Remember that word? The fast are going to go faster. I had a revelation about that word this week. This is deep calleth unto deep. Alright? If you're in that fast group, that means that you were going fast. Right? You're in the fast group. You're going fast. Here's the deep revelation. However fast that you thought you were going, now you're going faster. You're going faster. Now, when he showed me that, I thought I was going fast. But now he's saying, it's faster. It's faster. I want you to go faster. I want you to go faster into me. He said this after I spent some time with him on Wednesday. During that time with him, he said, you're dragging your feet. I said, oh, Jesus, I'm dragging my feet. He said, yes, you're dragging your feet. That same afternoon, I was chatting with Tim on the phone, and I said, does this sound like this could really be God? I mean, really? He said, I was dragging my feet. And he said, yes, that's right. You are dragging your feet. And he said, you know, most of us are dragging our feet. And I believe that is the case. Compared to how fast God wants to go right now, we're lagging behind. In this new season that I feel like we're walking into, in this new season, it's time to do what Gary had said the other day. He said, you know, I've got these things in my life that I have to do. You know, I had to take care of the baby yesterday. He said he had to go shopping for his parents that morning at the Walmart. But he said the extra time, the other time that he's not committed to something, he said, I am focused on this one thing. I sense in my heart that that's what God is doing for us. He's wanting us to get focused. Whatever it has been that has taken our time previously, this is the season to lay all that aside. This is the season to focus on Him. You know, I'm getting this picture that I had. You know, we've walked through Ephesians. We've taken step by step through Ephesians. And if we could see everyone in this audience right now, if our spiritual eyes were open, and we could see, I believe we would see the spiritual armor that each one of us has been. It's the inner man coming out, is what I'm saying. But it's that the spiritual armor is how Ephesians talks about it. I believe that we'd see to one degree or another that armor would be coming out, that spiritual man would be coming out. We've been working in this direction. We've been striving in this direction. And I know at times it seems like there's a dryness. And there's this, I'm doing this. I don't really feel that spiritual today, but I'm still doing it. And we've been there and we've done that. But it's come to that place that in our walk, in our place with the Lord, to see this revival coming that is, I mean, it's just across the crest of this hill. To get to that place, it's going to require, as I said last week, us to do something differently than how we've done it before to get there. Let me read a few more notes. Does anyone else feel this way? Is anybody else sensing this inside of them? Because I know I'm not the only one. I know that I'm not. Now, why he has me up here saying this, only he knows. And my responsibility as I steward this gift that he's placed inside of me, my responsibility is simply to obey and come up here and deliver what he put inside of me. That's my responsibility. The other day when I told you that I received this word from the Lord, it was followed up by another word. The other word was really specific about this time. That normal would not be normal anymore. And when he said that to me, I kind of understood what he was saying. And that's whenever I told you that that word was confirmed. So whenever I was talking to Tim, Tim said, you need to look at this. So I'm going to read. This wasn't from me. This was from somebody else. But I received this the same day that he spoke to me. This is the confirmation. This is God saying, that was me. You heard what I said. And this is the confirmation of that. And I don't know who God said this to. I have no idea. It may be one of you people right in this room. The preparation of expectancy. You are fast approaching the day when the comfort of the familiar will be no more. Doesn't that sound like normal? The familiar, the normal will be no more. The normal will be no more. What has been familiar to you will be no more. I have been preparing your hearts and molding the image of my Son in each one of you as with the hands of a potter. What you have known in the external realm and what is to come are not the same. I have been getting each one of you ready who has kept themselves on the potter's wheel through fellowship with me. Now the time is here to set your sights on the departure from all that has been comfortable and all that has been familiar into the place I only see by his eyes and ears, by his ears, and this is in print or in quotation marks. I only see by his eyes and hear by his ears and think with his mind. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm going to stop there. He wants us to move into another place that's not familiar to us. And I'm going to show you this change of seasons in the scriptures. I want to show you through something similar to what we've already been studying through Ephesians, through what transpired with the children of Israel when they walked out of the wilderness. And I want you to see it, and I want you to see how God worked with them, how He related to them in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, it changed. It just changed. God didn't change, but how He was relating with them did change. So let's turn, we're going to go back to Joshua. Let's look back at chapter 1 of Joshua. I want to refresh your memory just a little bit. While they were in the wilderness, how did God relate with them in the wilderness? Well, they had a pillar of fire. They had a cloud that was by night and a cloud by day. Now, when did they move? When would they pick up camp and move? Only when that cloud moved. So it was almost like God had them in this little incubation chamber, and He was just working with them just little bit by little bit. Okay, here goes the cloud. Now, follow me. Now, how simple is that? I mean, you just can't get it any simpler than that. Now, yes, He's dealing with unborn again people. But this is how baby steps these things were that God worked with these people. Okay, now watch this cloud. Watch this fire. When I move, I want you to follow. Okay, that's pretty easy. So here he stops. They camp. They sit there. They wait. And then he goes. The cloud moves. What do? They follow along with right behind him. So during this time in the wilderness, and what did that cloud provide? It provided safety for them. It provided the heat on the desert at night when it was cold, provided them shade in the daytime. Can you agree with me that that was probably about as good as it was going to get for them? You know, it wasn't like staying at the Ritz-Carlton, but it was not bad. You know, their needs were met. And you know, when you get in that place where you're just getting your needs met, you know what happens sometimes? You kind of get used to that. I'm just kind of used to it. I'm just barely getting along. But I've got, my expectancy is not much higher than this. I follow this cloud. I follow this pillar of fire. My expectancy level is, it's not way out there. Okay, it's real simple. I know he's going to move that cloud and I'm going to follow him. Okay, it's not real hard. The other thing that he did was he provided food for him. Manna. Every day. Now, And I sat and meditated on this manna. And I know Gary's taught great series about manna, so I'm not going to go into a lot of the details about the manna. But do you realize that they ate manna every day? Every day. They probably had so many different ways of trying to make manna that it would be shocking. But every single day they had manna, and it was provided by God. You get used to something. You get used to it. Yeah, probably they grumbled and complained about it, but you know what? It was there every day. It was right there for them to eat. And although they grumbled and complained, you know what? Had it not been there, they would have fussed. They would have starved. But that's the way that God worked with these people every day. He protected them. The Bible says that the shoes they had on their feet, the shoes grew with them. I mean, how wonderful. I mean, unless you're a woman and you like a lot of shoes. But for a guy, I mean, utilitarian mindset, I don't ever have to shop for shoes again. These things are going to grow with me. That's great. Well, my point is this. That's the way that God worked with the people. That's my point. That's the way He related to the children of Israel as they walked through the wilderness. But then, when it came time for a change, did He work with them the same way anymore? There was a change. There was a season change. So you're looking at the book of Joshua. Let's just start in chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to stop right there for right now. He's giving them the instructions. Now put yourself in the position of one of those children of Israel. Here's the instructions of the Lord. You're going to go over this Jordan. First of all, where's the bridge? How are we going to do this, Lord? I've got questions. I want answers. I want to know where the bridge is, because I don't see a bridge. And if I don't see a bridge, how am I going to get across here? Where's the bridge, Lord? That's the first question. Next one, he's telling us about a land that we're going to inherit. Now, I've wandered around in this wilderness for 40 years. You fed me with manna every day. I followed this cloud. And now you're telling me that I'm going to go across this Jordan on a bridge I can't see into a land I don't know. What about the manna? What about the food? Do you mean to tell me you brought me all this way and the manna is it going to stop? Is it going to be there? What's the deal? I want to know. I have questions and I want answers before I go. Has anybody ever been there? Jesus? Yeah, this is the place he wanted me to get to. Jesus, you said to lay your life down, that you had a cross that I was supposed to bear. I'll bear that cross. But Lord, I want some details about the other side of that. There's no details. There are none. I want you to come into me. I want you to get to know me. And when you get to know me and how I am, you're going to know that when I tell you to go, that I've got everything else taken care of. We feel like, and I have felt this way so many times, we feel like God's told me to do something, now I have to figure out how I'm going to bring it to pass. Did you hear what I'm saying? He told me to do this and that and thus and so. And now, I feel like I've got to help him out. I've got to fill in the blanks. And do you know why you feel that way? And you know why I feel that way? Because I don't know him good enough. I don't trust him enough. If Gary told me, Mark, I want you to go do this. We got it all planned out for you. If you go over there, go over to Sepulpa. I've got something. I got a house over there. I want you to paint a house over in Sepulpa, Mark. All right. I've got all the instructions. All you got to do is go there. Once you get there, everything's there. All of the material. I already thought ahead. I know Gary. If he told me that, I trust him. If he told me, I've already got everything taken care of, all the instructions I put, how I want the walls painted, how I want the trim painted, I've got it all laid out for you. All I want you to do is go do it. Now, if I sat there for half the day and asked him questions about, okay, now, are you sure you got me enough paint, Gary? Are you sure? And I'm going to tell you something. I did not plan any of this. I did not. What's coming out of my mouth at this moment, this is so God, I have not. I'm just shocked. Let me go back to this. The brushes, Gary. What about the brushes? You know, I used to paint yachts for a living, so I like a certain brush. Did you get me that certain brush, Mark? I got the certain brush. I got this. I got everything. Everything is there for you. All you have to do is go get in the car and go to that place that I have told you, and it's all there. I took care of everything. And if I spent the whole day, you know what Gary might start thinking after a while? I don't think he trusts me. Or he would have gone by now. I told him, I gave him my word. I trust him more than I've trusted God in the past. Whew. Ooh, that hurt. Because there's been things that God has told me to do. And I'm talking about me now, so the pressure's off of you. If the Holy Ghost is saying something inside of you right now, don't blame me. I'm telling you my guilt. If He is indicting you right now, that's not my fault. I didn't plan on saying any of this part. So this is all Him. But there have been things, and during that conversation the other day when He said I was dragging my feet, He happened to bring about one of those things that He said I was dragging my feet over. And that hurt. Because see, last fall, I had been spending buku time with Jesus. Well, how were you doing that, Mark? Well, God had just supernaturally arranged it in my schedule that I didn't have a schedule. I was just with Him, waiting to find out what in the world am I going to do next. So I had a great amount of time to spend with Him. So while I was spending that time with Him, He gave me specific instructions. He said, these are your next set of instructions. And I mean, it was detailed. It wasn't just like, you know, here is a random thought. And it, there's no specifics to it. No. Specific information. Wrote it all out. Got started on it. It wasn't short. And I'm going to tell you what it is. But it wasn't short. And it was long. It was detailed. It was involved. And I started doing it. I got busy with it. I mean, I spent my time with it. Lo and behold, things happened. You know, the enemy came, hit Debbie. Can you imagine how my schedule has been since January? Actually, since last December? All of the plans, all the instructions that God gave me went on hold. And I went into survival mode. I went into keeping my wife alive. From taking her to the doctor, to making her food, to doing everything. What about the instructions? The instructions got set on the shelf. So, this week, this was the first week since, I'm guessing, March, that we didn't have to be at the doctor's office every day since March. There was a few things that happened along the way that kind of affected that, but for the most part, this was the first week. I get alone with Jesus. Spend extended period of time with Jesus. What is the first thing that comes up? Is those instructions about doing what He said to do. If you've laid those instructions aside, He didn't change His mind. Go back. Repent for missing it. Pick up those instructions and go on with what He told you to do. Amen. Just go on. There's grace. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. And go on and do. He didn't change His mind. And He didn't forget about it either. All right? He didn't forget. He doesn't forget. They're right there. Well, maybe I'll go over and do this other thing and He'll be happy with it. How many times have we done that? Maybe I'll go do something else and make Him happy. That's not what this is about. Well, I got kind of tired of doing what He wanted me to do. That's what He called you to do. That's what He made you to do. That's where the anointing, the grace that we've learned about in Ephesians, the grace to fulfill your place in the body. It's right there, doing what He said to do. picking up those instructions and going on and fulfilling them. But it's going to take me years to do those. So, what else do you have to do? Amen? What else do you got to do? Just do those things that he said to do. So let's go back. I digress a little bit. So here we are with the children of Israel. They're on that side of the Jordan. And God is giving them instructions to Joshua. You're going to go on the other side. We don't know where the bridge is yet. We don't know anything about the food. All we know is we've seen some things that the spies brought. So we know that they've got some good food over there. But, you know, is God going to bring that to me every day? That's what I want to know these things. Is he going to bring it, or do I have to go out and do I have to do something differently to get these things? So turn over. Let's look at what happened with the manna in chapter 5 in verse 11. Starting at 11, we'll read 11 and 12. Are you getting anything today? I hope you are, because I hope you're realizing that this is a point of change in this season. And whatever you did that you thought was normal before, you know, you went out and you collected that manna before, and you got that mindset of this is what I'm used to. Well, we're coming up now to this Jordan, and we're going to cross this Jordan, and we're going into this new land, and how he wants us, how he's going to deal with this is going to change. What you thought was normal before is not going to be normal anymore. This just came to me. Walking by that person in that wheelchair and just walking and keep walking by, that's the part that's changing. Did you catch that? As we go further and further into him, that's what's changing. The people that we see I've seen too many in the last few months, the women that wear the thing covering the fact that they don't have any hair because they just went through chemo, walking by those people and leaving them the way they are, that's what's changing. But if that's going to change, because I've walked by them, I've walked by them and by them and by them, if that part's going to change, I have to change. I have to change. Something has to be different in me. So something has to be different in the way I spend my time, how I seek this face. I've got this image inside of me, and it is just like, I close my eyes and I can see myself on my knees crying out to God, I want more of you. That's like this, it's on an endless loop in my spirit. All I gotta do is close my eyes and I can see this. God, I'm on my knees. Jesus, I'm so hungry. I'm so dissatisfied with where I am. Lord, I want more. I've got to have more of you. I'm not satisfied with the status quo anymore. I'm not satisfied with life as I've known it. Jesus, I want more of you. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. spend about an hour doing that. You're going to get hungry. You can cultivate this. You know, in that prophecy, the fast are going to go faster. It also said the slower, we're going to go slower. If you feel like you're in the slow group, I got news for you. You can catch up if you want to. If you want to. If you're happy and you're happy going to heaven and you're happy with how you're going to feel when you stand in front of Him with your life, if you're happy and you feel like for the eternities to come, I can live with the decisions I made to just be satisfied on this earth. If you feel that way, stay the way you are. I can't do that. Because I know that there's a time I'm going to stand there and I'm going to look Him eyeball to eyeball. And right then, He's going to show me everything. He's going to show me those times when He was like, see Mark right here? Right here. I was pulling you. I was trying to draw you to Me. And you spent that time doing this and so. You had the opportunity. And He is not going to be angry. That's not the God we serve. But the facts are going to speak for themselves. I want Him to know how much I really do love Him. I want my life to speak of the love that I have for Him. Not in words only, but in actions. Does anybody else feel that way? Not by words. Anybody can say, I love you, Jesus. You can come to church from here till you go be with Jesus. And you can say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But if your life, the actions of your life, are not a testament to Him, then they're just words. And they're just words. So let's go back now. Got just a few more minutes. Talking about the changing of the seasons. So they crossed over, and we just read where they crossed over in chapter 5. They ate their first meal was old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn in the selfsame day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. Jesus, I missed that part. When we were over on the other side, you know, you were telling me about we were going to go over there. I missed the fact that you said that the manna was stopping. He didn't tell them. It just stopped. Did you catch that? When they were over on the other side, He didn't tell them. It stopped. But Jesus, I've watched this person. I've watched them this week over and over again. This is my manna bucket. I've used this thing every day. My manna bucket. Okay. Now, I've got so accustomed to going out every day, Lord, and going out and collecting that manna and taking it in and preparing it. I made it a certain way, Jesus. Okay, I know how I like this stuff now. I'm used to it. I really like it now, Lord. You know, before when I was over in that lane, you know how I kind of talked badly about it? Forget all of that. Now I like it. I like it now. Can you bring it back, Lord? There's not even a discussion about bringing it back. You see what I'm talking about? Do you see my point? We get so used to life as it is. And the moment He starts even hinting about it changing, oh, but Lord, that job that I fussed about so much, oh, I love it now. I do. It's my favorite. I'll never complain about it ever again. Ever. Because He wanted you to do something differently. Do you see my point? When change comes, when the seasons change, don't expect to do the same thing you did before. Bottom line. That's the bottom line. And the season is changing here. So, the bottom line is, whatever you've been doing, don't expect to continue just doing that. And I would venture to say for most people, a large percentage of people, it has been a spiritual walk to try and maintain a certain level spiritually. You're laughing. You know what I'm talking about? Just to maintain a certain spiritual level. This new season, we're not trying to just maintain where we are. This new season, as they went into the promised land, He said, go, conquer, take that land. You get out there. Come on, let's go. Get out there. But there's no cloud for me to follow, Jesus. You know, I like that step by step by step. I like that part. I knew exactly where to go. All I had to do is just go one step after the other and just follow you. He gets you to that place of maturity where He says, go get them, tiger. You go out there and you claim that land in your spirit, with your spirit. You put to death anything inside of you that's not according to the Spirit of Christ inside of you. You go out and do that. Can you just get a feel? I mean, we've been with this message. We have listened to this message for years. We have done this message for years. And Pastor Dave has so meticulously laid it out just perfectly. So simple at times. And brought us up to a place, and praise God. I mean, look at us. You're not the same person that started in this message. And He's brought us up to this place. And now He's saying, fast, go faster. Go faster. You're ready. You're ready. Go. Go after it. You know, if I could open you up right now, and stick one thing inside of you. You know what it would be? Do you know what it would be? Do you know? Passion. Passion. To go after this. And I was reminded, as I was going over what I thought the Holy Ghost was going to have me talk about, I was reminded of years ago when I was in high school. I played high school football. And I remember, about this time of year, anybody ever played high school football, you know what happens this time of year. They do two-a-day practices out in the hot sun. You are sweating. You are hurting. And I remember, because I played football since I was in the sixth grade, I remember seeing those guys come up that were the newbies. You know, they came out and this, you've been playing for years and this is their first time out. And you watch those guys and they think it's just going to be easy, you know. And they're just going to go and practice and everything's going to... No. Man, you just mow those boys down. You know? But there was something inside of me when I was sitting there sweating, hot, hurting, I had something in my mind about what it was on that Friday night when I'd get out there under those lights. And I was a long way off at that point. But I was willing to endure the pain of going through those practices because I had a desire in my heart. How do I relate that to this? Get a picture inside of you of where He wants you to go. Get that picture. See that picture. If it's that person standing up out of that wheelchair, get focused on something. See that. And what's great is we can see Jesus in the Gospels. We can look at Him. You can watch that man's eyes. When he spit in his eyes and the eyes were healed. Read that until that has painted such a picture on the inside of you. And see yourself laying hands on the people. And when that person changes and it's not Jesus anymore, but it's you, you have something to lay your life down for. You have something inside of you, a passion. And nothing's going to stop you. Or maybe it's looking at the worst biker, the worst of the worst of whoever it is. And you're seeing that person, you're leading that person to Jesus. Get a picture on the inside of you of something of what God wants to take you into. And lay your life down for it. Don't stop till you have what you see on the inside of you. Don't stop. Whatever has been holding you back before, look at it. Pull it out. Sit down with Jesus. You and Jesus. Lord, You're the light. Shine the light in me. Show me. What's been holding me back? Because I don't want to live this way anymore. He'll show you. You can deal with it. A couple of things that I have been doing as of late, and I'm just saying this as I'm going to show you how this has helped me. I skipped a couple of meals. I'm not trying to, it's no big deal. I'm not looking for an award, but I skipped a couple of meals and gave that time to Jesus. And you know what? This is what happened. When I first started doing it, at first it was like, there wasn't anything there. Nothing. It's like, okay, fine. You know, next day came around. I woke up in the morning. Skip another meal was what came up on the inside of me. I did not have to generate that. Did you hear what I said? It just came up. It just floated. And believe me, that was not me. Skipping a meal is not me. All I did was skip one. But that was enough. And that's what I want to emphasize to you. That little bit. That was all it took. Just that much. And I woke up the next day. Here's a little bit more for you, Mark. Skip this one. If your prayer time has just been maintenance prayer, I made out a little calendar for myself. If you're not going to schedule prayer, it's not going to happen. Make out that little schedule. Go on your Outlook on your computer. Print out just a clean calendar of the month. And write on there. Sit down with Jesus. Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he'll help you with this. And you can sit down and you can map this thing out. Because I don't want to do what I've been doing. I want something different as my outcome. So I'm going to do something differently to get there. And that was the message for today. And I just pray that that was the right word. I pray that you heard what I said. But more importantly, I pray that you're going to do something, that you're going to heed this word. Not because I brought it, please. You know, the mouthpiece that stands in front of you, really, is it all that relevant if it's really the voice of God speaking through the person? We have to get to the place that we stop looking at, is it Dave speaking? You know, we have to be able to identify that's God, He's speaking through that person. Amen? Thank you all.